Hello and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. We hope you enjoyed the holiday. We hope you got some time off and you were able to recharge. I am your host, Nessens Lauren Campbell. I will be joined by my co-host, Massachusetts Pirates team reporter Jake Iggy, very shortly. And we have a very, very special episode for you today. We will be bringing in Red Sox prospect and minor league baseball pitcher of the year, Brandon Walter. We are so excited to share our conversation with you. So let's get right to it.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And as you mentioned, you started off as a reliever in Salem, but on June 25th, you were able to make your first pro start. And I mean, looking at the stats, it's pretty remarkable, Brandon. Four innings, nine strikeouts. And first of all, what was your reaction when you first found out that you were making your first pro start? It must have been a pretty cool achievement for you going through all those things during COVID and everything like that. But yeah. Also, how did it feel after such a successful start?
I liked hearing that I was going to start was nice, obviously. I mean, that's where, especially if you're in the minor leagues, that's kind of where you want to be. You want to be in the bullpen, or you don't want to be in the bullpen. You want to be starting as many innings as you can, just to gain that experience, get you ready for levels ahead. And starting is where those innings are. So when I found out I was going to start, I didn't know if it was going to be long term or not. They never said that. They just said you're starting this day, and I was like, great. So I just got myself ready for that start. I mean, like I said, starting was what I was comfortable with. The bullpen was new to me. So going back to that starting routine, it took a little bit to get like ready. Like it felt weird throwing the first inning of a game. I mean, that didn't happen in a long time, especially with the season getting canceled the year before and everything. But I mean, I just treated it just like I was pitching out of the bullpen, just attack each hitter, try to get that hitter out, move on to the next one, not overthink it.
By July 6th, you were with High A Greenville. Was there any kind of big transition period there from Salem to High A?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, the hitters in High A, it's just a little bit better. I mean, it sounds cliche, but when you go up a level, the hitters get better. There's more good hitters in Low A. There might be two or three hitters you got to worry about. In High A, there might be three or four good hitters you got to worry about. So, I mean, that was different. I know playing in Greenville, the ballpark was different than Salem. Salem, big pitcher's ballpark, not many home runs. Then you get to Greenville and everything's flying out. So that was a little bit of adjustment. Got to keep the ball down, get the ball on the ground. And it seems like every stadium we played at on the road was the same way in High A. So learned how to keep the ball out of the air, that's for sure. That was probably the biggest adjustment for me.
Makes sense. And I got to ask, sort of like, what was your first reaction when those balls started flying out a little bit? Were you like, oh, shoot, it's not as easy as I thought it might be? I bet you expected the competition jump, but yeah, I'm just curious.
It was different because, like, you see, like, I know the first home run I gave up was at Greenville, and it was a lefty hit one to left center. And it was like, it kind of was like a fastball inside. Like, he barreled it, but like, it was a ball that in Salem, the center fielder's flying, just drifting back and catching. And then I see the center fielder looking up, and it's over the green monster there. I'm like, oh, wow. So, yeah, I mean, it's just taking those and kind of adjusting what I can do. I mean, obviously some of that's out of my control. Right. After it leaves my hand, I can't control whether they hit it to a short part of the field or not. But, yeah, I mean, mentally I tried not to let it, like, tear me down. So
makes sense.
And for when you were called up, were there any kind of players that took you under their wing, or was it just kind of a mix of everyone?
A mix of everyone. I mean, when I moved up, I got to know – but yeah, it was weird because when I moved – I was a reliever all year in Salem, and then I made one or two starts and moved up, and I'm right into the rotation in Greenville. So I got to know those other starting pitchers pretty well. Jay Groom, Chris Murphy, Chase Sugar, Brian Van Bell, those guys, Grant Gamble too. So, yeah, I mean, I talked to them mostly just because we're sitting in the dugout and watching the game for most days. So got to know those guys pretty well. They taught me a lot, so it was good.
We brought up Jake Groom, and he was a guy who was a first-rounder in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I bet you were able to learn a lot from him. He's a guy who has had ups and downs throughout his career, a lot of high expectations. And so I'm curious, what sort of experience was it like playing with him, and what sort of advice did you gain from him?
A lot. I mean, he's actually younger than me, but he's been around the organization for, like, seems like forever, being a high school pick. Being a lefty, and he had Tommy John, too. We had a lot kind of similar go on of us. Obviously, we took different paths to where we're at, but he's actually from kind of close to the same area, too. He's a Jersey guy.
That's cool.
Delaware, so he's Northeast. So, yeah, we have a lot in common there.
That's always fun when you can kind of connect with players on a more personal level, than just kind of being teammates.
We hope you're enjoying our conversation with Red Sox prospect Brandon Walter. We will get you right back to our second segment of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar. By now, you probably know me well enough to know how much I absolutely love Built Bar. And now that the new year is approaching, that probably means you have some sort of New Year's resolution. And if yours is about getting fit, maybe eating a little healthier, be sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar, because it makes it easier to stick to your resolution. They taste so good, you'll want to keep eating it, unlike other protein bars out there that can be chalky or maybe even a little waxy. Built Bars also are covered in 100% real chocolate. And if you're not a fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way you have a delicious Built Bar that you can enjoy, and you can basically count it as a workout, right? And there's so many flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, my personal favorite, cookies and cream. And we have an offer now for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
In a past interview, you said that there was a much better analytics system in place in 2021 than in 2019. Would you say those analytics kind of helped you pitch better?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in 19, I don't know if I was in the rookie league, so I don't know how much they actually, like, I don't know if they just didn't work with it as much at that level or whatever, but this year, I mean, it kind of changed me as a pitcher. I mean, I came into spring training. Like I said, we had the whole time off. I came in with a big 12-6 curve. I threw four seamers. I threw two seamers. I kind of had everything. And then the analytics and the pitch data stuff they were showing me, that my best pitches were my two-seamer, my slider, and my changeup. So I just kind of stuck with those all season. And it made my job a lot easier because I didn't have to worry about working on five different pitches. I didn't have to worry about throwing five different pitches for strikes. It was just three pitches. Here's my three best pitches. You're going to compete with all these. And just the other thing was they showed me that my pitches work right down the middle. So if I could just aim right down the middle, simplified even more for myself. I ended up doing that and having success with that too. So those two things were pretty big.
That makes sense. And like I mentioned at the start of the interview, you had the opportunity to win the minor league baseball pitcher of the year. And I was kind of curious if you could just paint the picture of how you found out.
Let's see. I actually found out on Twitter.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Yeah, I had, because I guess MLB Pipeline, I think that's who did it. MLB Pipeline, yeah. They tweeted something out, and I had all my friends saw it, and they sent it to me. I woke up, and I was like, whoa. I had like a bunch of messages. I found out on Twitter from my friend sending it to me.
And how good did that feel? Especially, you know, being like a 26th rounder, a guy who, I mean, you didn't really know after 2020 how things were really going to roll out, especially with how good of a season you had. How good did that feel?
Yeah, it felt great. I mean, I didn't take the normal path to getting that. You know, I started kind of out of nowhere in the bullpen in low A as an old guy. And then kind of work my way up to getting a lot of innings and doing well. And it's crazy because the other guy that got the award was Nick York, and he's a young first-round pick out of high school. So me and him getting the awards is kind of crazy because we had such different paths to getting there. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did your family also see the news on Twitter? Like, did they find out before you did, or were you able to at least tell them?
Yeah, I think they were one of the ones that were sending it to me.
That's awesome.
My dad probably found it on Facebook. He finds everything on there. So,
classic dad move right there. Find everything on Facebook.
Right.
That's funny. And you brought up Nick York, and you had a little bit of experience playing with him. Red Sox fans are always curious about different players' experiences with these big top prospects. So do you think he's the real deal from what you've seen?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he takes on at bats like he's been in the league for 10 years, and he's, was he 18, 19? He's intense, and he doesn't take failing very well. Like he takes it very personally. Once he works on whatever he's got to work on to get better. He's very focused. He puts together professional at bats. He's good. I could see that even in the first month he struggled. I don't know what his numbers were, but he wasn't the Nick York at the end of the season, at the beginning of the season. You could just see how he progressed every day at the plate, and his defense even got better in base running and everything. So he really impressed me this year with how much he grew from day one to the last day. And I played with him in Salem and Greenville, so I kind of got to see him the whole season, and it was fun to watch him progress.
That's cool.
He's been a lot of fun to follow along with as well. I just feel like there's always highlights. There's always eyes on him because, you know, being a top prospect, it's definitely a lot of pressure just kind of surrounding you at all times, I feel like. And kind of looking forward ahead to 2022, is there any sense of pressure going into next season, assuming this lockout's going to end and very soon?
I don't feel any crazy pressure for myself, but and the lockout, I could be wrong, but I don't think it affects the minor league season. I think we're still good to go, even if there is some kind of holdout. I could be wrong with that. I'm excited to get back. I've learned that I like the in season more than the off season. So I love being there. I love the grind of playing every day and getting to the ballpark early and getting my work in and watching the games and pitching in the games that I'm pitching in. And I really enjoy that routine.
We will get back to our conversation with Red Sox prospect Brandon Walter in our third and final segment of Locked On Red Sox. As always, thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Before we get back to our third segment, I want to tell you about BetOnline, because BetOnline has you covered this holiday season, which means more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So don't wait, take advantage of all these amazing offers. You get that 50% welcome bonus by using promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline, where the game starts.
Especially with how good of a season you had in 2021, in what ways are you looking to improve in 2022?
I'd say just my overall body, keeping it like in shape the whole season. I mean, that was my first time going through a full season. Not saying I had any injuries. It was just like I just felt my body wearing down a little bit. That could just be from not pitching the year before at all. But I want to treat this season a little bit better with nutrition and keeping my arm in shape. I know last year in the beginning of the season, my arm felt electric. And at the end, it took a little bit in the training room to get me out there. Nothing was hurt or anything, but I want to feel on the last game, I want to feel as good as I do on the first game. That's my goal.
That's a really good goal to have, just kind of keeping that stamina there, keeping the arm healthy. Obviously, that's incredibly important when you're a pitcher. Looking back, is there any advice you'd either give your younger self, or maybe just like a piece of wisdom that maybe you wish you knew going into college, or just kind of deciding when you wanted to play pro ball?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably just what I just said, was just take, I mean, I've definitely done a better job of taking care of my arm and body since my surgery, but going into college as a freshman and sophomore, those first 2 years, I worked out. I did the team workouts. I was that guy that did like the team stuff, and then I'd go home instead of, you know, staying after and doing all the work in the training room that we do now. I wish I knew all that back then. I wish I had access to the kind of stuff that I have access to now. But yeah, that'd probably be it. Just keep doing the little things to keep the body healthy. It really pays off in the end.
Makes sense. And I was just curious, is there any level that you're shooting for in spring training to get to this next season?
Yeah, I mean, I finished the season high A, so I'm going out and trying to make double A. That's a pretty simple one for me.
Makes sense. Perfect. Yeah, we really, really appreciate you taking the time today, Brandon. And for any Red Sox fans that want to keep up with what you're doing and follow you on any social medias, where can they find you?
Instagram, I think my name's B_Walt_, and I'm pretty sure it's the same on Twitter. So those two. I'm not a TikToker, so I don't have that.
Come on, you don't do any of the dances or anything like that.
I have some teammates that do, but maybe in the future we'll see. Definitely won't be the dances, but
we'll see. Yeah, you're gonna have to change in your bio, minor league player for the Red Sox / social media influencer. Follow me on TikTok. Yes.
Yeah. We'll see.
I love it. Really appreciate you taking the time and for giving your insight today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Perfect. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Red Sox prospect Brandon Walter. Thank you so much, Brandon, for your time and being so gracious with it and joining Locked On Red Sox. As always, thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. We are so excited to have you here with us and bring you into the new year with us. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at lalalalauren, 3 laws, Lauren with 4 R's. Follow Jake Iggy on Twitter at Jake Iggy and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. You can subscribe right here on YouTube, and you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out all the other amazing shows across the Locked On Network, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Giants, Locked On A's. Everyone does an incredible job here. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day, head on over to Locked On Bets to make it your second listen. Locked On Bets is your one-stop shop for all of your betting needs. It's hosted by your boy Q with expert insight and analysis from Lee Sterling. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Have a great day and a great week. We'll see you soon.